This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas is reopening. While some say this is a reopening for business, another point of view is it's a reopening for COVID-19. The softening of social distancing gives the contagious virus an opening that it needs to reach new people and spread through the population. And this puts local leaders in a tough spot who are trying to limit that spread. We're talking about that this afternoon, and you can call in. The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. And you can tweet at us at TPRSource. And so we're talking about how San Antonio is having a health transition, looking for a safe way to reopen the local economy. Again, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK for you to join the conversation. We're joined by Bexar County Judge Nelson Wolf, also a former retailer. And also with us is Dr. Ruth Berggren, infectious disease specialist, director of the Center for Medical Humanities and Ethics at UT Health San Antonio, COVID-19 consultant for Bexar County, and a member of the City of San Antonio's Health Transition Team. And also with us this afternoon, Dr. Jason Morrow, clinical ethicist, associate professor of medicine at UT Health San Antonio, a palliative care doctor at the University Health System, and a member of the City of San Antonio's Health Transition Team. Welcome all of y'all to The Source. And so, Judge Nelson Wolf, I'd like to start off with you, if I may. If you could kind of give me your reaction, both as a county judge and as a former retailer, to what we heard from Greg Abbott, governor, yesterday.
Well, I think he's right in beginning to open up these businesses. I think we can do it in a safe way. But I was very disturbed over the safe way that he has charted. We've had in place a mandatory mask or face covering, which we think led to controlling this virus. All the businesses are supporting that and doing it. But then he leaves it an option, says people ought to do it, and then he prohibits the local government from assessing a fine if someone does not do it. I would encourage every business to require people coming into their store to wear a face mask, as well as their employees. It's a major step because we'll be opening malls, and you can imagine even with 1/4 spacing, how many people will be walking around in a mall. So that to me was the shortcoming of what he did. But if we do it right, and we're looking at whether we can put in a mandatory one, although we cannot do the fine, we're looking at that now. But I think a safe, the mask, a face covering, 6-foot spacing, you know, cleaning services, washing your hands, all of those things are critical to making this effective. So we want this to be effective, but we're very disappointed in the fact that he did not put in the face that that face covering should be mandatory.
As a county judge, you're having to deal with the impact of these decisions that are being made by Governor Greg Abbott, and he has the authority. He can call the tune, and if he says this is what we're going to do, you have no authority to stand up to that.
Well, not completely true. We will be looking at whether we can continue in a mandatory. There's other ways to enforce that other than a fine on face mask, and our lawyers are looking at that right now. We're also going to be, and I'm going to be extending my order to prevent evictions. He didn't speak to that. He didn't speak to gatherings, which we will continue to put a restriction on that. He did speak to testing and tracking, but those two are still, quite a problem in terms of having everything you need to do to more testing and then having to hire people to do more tracking. I think those two are important. He did allow libraries and museums to open. We plan to open up Bibliotech next week. As you know, it's a digital library, and we want to be able to open where people can come in and get ebook readers and get Wi-Fi hotspots to be able to take home and we can create that 25% of space that somebody needs to use a computer while they're there or any other services. So I don't have a real problem with his decision about what to open and when. I have a real problem, though, with one of the greatest safeguards we've got is not mandating masks and face covering.
Dr. Ruth Bergeron, with the transition team for the city of San Antonio, can you talk about what is being proposed today to the city council?
Yes, so thank you for the question. Our team has identified 4 progress indicators and 3 warning indicators to really guide the community about what we think is safe from a health and a public health perspective. And the progress indicators, which are the ones we want to have met in order to feel safe moving forward into the next phase, are first, a sustained decline in new cases for a period of 14 days. San Antonio is not there yet. If you track exactly how many new cases we've had on a daily basis, we've had a decline for the last 3 days. There's been a general decline going back to April 21st. So one can argue whether to count April 21st or April 25th as our start date. Either way, we haven't made 14 days of a steady decline. The second progress indicator would be to have capacity for testing people. We currently have the capacity to test around 1,600, and we need to more than double that. We need to be able to test 3,000 people a day, and that is not pulled out of the air. That estimate is based on Governor Abbott's estimate for the state, adjusted for the population of Bexar County, and it also aligns with population-based estimates from places like the Harvard Global Health Institute. So we don't have enough testing capacity. We do have hope that we are really close to improving that testing capacity, but today we're not there. The third progress indicator is contact tracing capacity. So that means when you have a new case identified, somebody needs to speak to that person and find out who they've been close to physically and then call all those people. And we need to train about 175 people. And that's good because there's some job opportunities there for folks that don't need to have advanced education. But we need to train 175 contact tracers, and we don't have that yet. The fourth indicator we do have, and that is a prepared healthcare system. And that means that the healthcare system isn't stressed. We have enough beds, ICU slots, ventilators, and personal protective equipment. So it's been a long effort, but we're there. So we've met progress indicator 4, but we have work to do for the other 3.
But having progress indicator 4, a healthcare system that's able to deal with the crisis, but it's the crisis we have now, it may not be ready to deal with the crisis that we have tomorrow if we have this surge of cases that come from the reduction in social distancing, the reopening of businesses, and maybe another gallop of COVID-19.
Right. That's exactly the concern, of course. And because of that, we've planned for some warning indicators as we open up. And I hope we'll do it in a very restrained and orderly and staged fashion. But once we start doing that, we need to be monitoring what's going on.
Well, we have I got to cut you off because I'm going to a break. But we do have what Governor Abbott announced yesterday. It doesn't seem to be very careful or thoughtful. It seems to be sort of a reactionary way of doing this, and we'll see what the consequences are, whether we like it or not. We're taking a break. The number is 833-877-8255. The source continues after this. And welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a transition for San Antonio, looking for a safe reopening of the local economy from a public health perspective. Also with us today, Dr. Jason Morrow. He's a clinical ethicist and associate professor of medicine at UT Health San Antonio, and he's a member of the City of San Antonio Health Transition Team. Dr. Morrow, you're very thoughtful, and you think a lot about, you try to put yourself in other people's shoes all the time in the way that you approach things. So can you kind of help us understand some of the pressures that maybe people are feeling right now driving this decision to reopen the economy, and how we can sort of look at that in sort of a sympathetic point of view, but still also try to maintain, you know, if we don't have a strategy, things could spin out of control pretty quickly, wouldn't they?
Yes, you're right. And thanks for inviting me to be here, David. The what people are experiencing is they're scared. They're scared of getting infected. They're scared of their family getting infected. They're also scared that if business doesn't get back to normal, then their retirement is under threat. The safety and integrity of their businesses is under threat. So they're kind of feeling it at all sides. And there's a tension. There's a real tension that people are experiencing. They want to get back to normal, but they want to know when it's safe. And fundamentally, that's what our local leaders and our state leaders need to be advocating for, is the public health and scientific information that will help guide businesses and individuals in making decisions about when to resume business as usual. And I totally agree with Dr. Bergeron and the recommendations of the committee that we have enough tests to know whether or not we can be safe going back to work. If we don't have enough tests, then how can we be confident that what we're about to do is safe? We'll be flying blind. So I sure hope that we're able to ramp up the testing fairly quickly so we can understand what kind of risk there is out there. And I think people are ready. I think people are ready not just to get back to work, but they're in tune. This is different than the 1918 flu pandemic, where now we have a 24-hour news cycle. People are paying attention to the dashboard that the city of San Antonio has put up about the number of cases and the indicators that the Texas Department of Public Health has put out for the statewide indicators for the number of tests and the number of cases. People are paying attention. So this time, as a public health response, we need to not only provide people the best evidence about what tests work, how many tests are needed, what practices are needed to mitigate risk in the workplace, but we also need to be communicating the evidence that we're using, because this time people are dialed in. They're scared, but they're also ready to be a part of the solution.
Let's go to the phone lines, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK with James. James, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, my question was about what are opportunities for volunteering for contact tracing efforts? And if there are volunteering efforts, is there a minimum time per week to volunteer, or can it be done on weekends? Thank you so much.
All right, Dr. Ruth Bergeron, can volunteers be a resource?
So it does require training. And so I would direct the caller, James, to sanantonio.gov and look at that website. It is in the purview of San Antonio Metro Health to develop the training program, recruit, and prepare that workforce of contact tracers. Undoubtedly, volunteers would be welcome, but it can't be untrained volunteers. So thank you for offering.
So Bexar County Judge Nelson Wolf, I got you to the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to lean on you pretty hard here to get some answers. First of all, has HEB indicated to you or that they are willing to continue their requirement of having face masks for people who go into the store?
I haven't talked to them since, but I'm confident that they will. They've been very, very responsible in this whole effort. They require that now. A business, although we have some limited authority under what the governor stated, the business can certainly set the criteria of demanding a face mask where you go in. And I think we need to understand one thing real quick. The governor is the ultimate authority. He's decided to open these, so there's no choice. There's no choice. We have no power to overrule him. The only power we have is to do everything we can to make this a safe opening. So we don't have that option to say, you're going to stay closed. So we have to come up with a good plan that we can implement with recommendations from the health committee to do everything we can to make sure this is a safe opening.
The governor did say that he is going to be watching how this rolls out, looking for hot spots, looking for flare-ups. And so does that mean, like, if we see an increase in these numbers, you think we could dial it back and go to where we are right now, Judge?
Well, he didn't make clear what that meant. Now, let me talk about numbers. The more we test, the more COVID we will have. As Dr. Bergeron said, we've come down in terms of the increase the last 3 days. But there's some other things to look at. One of them is, what percent of those tested are COVID? When we started, we were around 10-12%. We've gone down as low as 6-8%. So that's a very positive number to look at, and one that needs to be taken into consideration. Another thing that needs to be looked at is hospitals. We peaked on April the 6th with 91 patients. 19 days later now, we're down to 58. People on ventilators has gone down more than twice, as well as those in ICU. So there's other indicators that we need to be conscious of as we look about how well he does with his decision to open.
The enforcement of this rule, opening businesses like restaurants and movie theaters at 25% capacity, that's something that local officials have to enforce, I imagine. So the fire marshal rules occupancy for a certain area, and then so we're going on 25%, that number, Judge Wolf?
We've had 25% on our number well before he laid that out yesterday. He pretty well followed the number that we had already. And it does require some monitoring. Restaurants are the most highly regulated retail outlet in the city, with health officials going in there quite frequently to check them for a number of other issues. So I think that that will be intensified as we move along. We contract with the city to do the health inspection of our restaurants that are out of the city as well as they do on the inside. So I think that'll be a good monitoring one. I believe it can't be everywhere.
Sure.
A lot of retail businesses, and we can't be everywhere. But there can be some testing. People that feel like that they're not following the order right can certainly call the San Antonio Police Department, can call the Sheriff's Department on our outside to report those violations, and we will get on them. So the 25% is our order to begin with. We put in, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. It continues today. So that is a good piece of what he did. I certainly agree with that part.
Right. So, though, it's not a horseback estimate. I mean, this is a hard number of how many people should be allowed into a restaurant or a movie theater or some other type of facility.
Well, what it is, when you get your certificate occupancy, you are limited to the number of people that can be in your building, depending on the size of it. So I'm just going to grab a number. Say that you're allowed to go into a big HEB store and you're allowed to have, let's say, 500 people. I don't know. Then you reduce that by 25%.
So you have 125 people would be allowed.
Yeah, I know. I'm just grab those numbers. But I know at HEB, I've had to stand outside, which I don't mind. And I have my.
Sure, but HEB is a responsible retailer, okay? They're,
that's right.
But we have
right.
Some who are not so quite responsible.
Could be.
Who's going to do the enforcement of this? Because the public health of the entire community is reliant on that.
We still have the right in those cases to put in a fine and to also require a jail term. So if somebody sees a store that they
believe a restaurant or a bar.
Yeah, where the bars cannot open. A restaurant is defined with selling less than 51% in alcohol. So bars are not open under this rule. So we're going of course, we'll have more responsible employers than we will. I don't think there's an employer in town that wants to put their employees in jeopardy or their customers in jeopardy. So we're counting a lot on them coming through and handling this right. But we can handle complaints. If people call them in, we'll check them out.
What's this doing to the hospital district, which is another one of the hats that you wear?
Well, you know, we've done very well there. And the hospitals as a whole, and we keep up with them all the time, we still have over 548 ventilators available. That's 77% of our capacity that's still available. We still have over 1,765 available staff beds. As Ruth stated earlier, we've done a really good job in the hospitals, and they've responded, and they've done it in a very good way. University Hospital, which is the Bexar County Hospital District, has really been helping us at the jail. We've had problems there, some real problems. There's probably not a You may have 100 people in a nursing home and be real concerned about that, but we got 3,000 inmates. And so University Hospital has given us another 50 people to help do the temperature, to help respond to outbreaks there.
So, but how's the budget looking? How's the budget looking for the hospital district?
Well, you know, Bexar County Commissioners Court, that's us, funds the hospital district to the tune of about $458 million a year. And then they have done a terrific job of getting in patients that are paying patients. Now, there's a problem now. All hospitals have significant problems right now. They've lost their patient base. The governor did allow elective surgeries, a couple weeks ago, I guess. And so they'll get some back. But I would imagine, people vote with their feet in this thing. We may say do this or do that, but people make their own decisions. And I think a lot of them have decided to put off surgery or whatever till this COVID settles down.
And so do you think that we'll be opening up more businesses soon, including hairdressers and tattoo parlors? Would you be comfortable with that? Do you think that there's a way to provide those services in a way that does not permit the spread of the COVID?
Well, the governor outlined that. He said he's going to take a look at that on the 18th of May, I believe he said. And he's going to base that on depending on how well we do during these first 2 or 3 weeks of opening. But again, let me emphasize, he makes those decisions. We do not.
So when the governor makes these decisions to open up the economy in this way that does not follow some of the rules that these indicators that have been laid out, we'll talk more about that in a minute, but we don't have enough testing. Texas is way behind on testing. We don't have enough contact tracing in Texas. They're throughout the state. San Antonio, Bexar County is in great shape for hospitals. That's not like that all over the state. We could see a massive flare up of people coming down with the coronavirus, shot up in fatalities. So Judge Nelson Wolf, will that be something that Governor Greg Abbott will have to own? Will that be his?
Well, yes, it will. He could have protected himself a hell of a lot more if he'd required face masks or coverings with people that, can't stay 6 feet away from someone else. He could have protected his decision, but I think he made a bad mistake not doing that. There's other safeguards he could have put in place. I think we have some right to do some of that. We'll hear the health committee report at 1 o'clock today, and I'm hoping that there are a number of things that we can put in there that will make sure that this opening that is starting will be safe.
Bexar County Judge Nelson Wolf, thank you so much for participating in our source this afternoon. We got to let you go. I know you got a busy day, but it was great hearing from you and giving us an update on how things look from the big chair in the County Commissioner's Court. And we're taking a break. When we come back, we continue our conversation talking about the health transition for a safe reopening of San Antonio. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255-833-TPR-TALK. We'll be right back.
Remember this music? It was the theme from the Texas Public Radio series called San Antonio Tricentennial Minutes. I'm Yvette Benavides.
And I'm David Martin Davies. Together, we produced those 2018 segments about San Antonio history.
People still ask about them. They remember specific details and tell us that they learned so much about our city.
Some folks wanted more information about some of the stories that we told. There was the deep history about San Antonio, like the city's founding and many of the battles that were fought here. But there are also those quirky history items.
Like the one about Captain Gus, the local kiddie cartoon host whose real name was Joe Alston. This is a vignette that is puro San Antonio. According to our research, it first aired on March 10, 1958 and aired until 1979.
We expanded on those radio stories to create the book San Antonio 365 On This Day in History, published by Trinity University Press. It's available from Texas Public Radio as a gift when you pledge your support at $1 a day 365 level.
When we were researching and writing the book, one of the areas that we decided to focus on was the history of public health in San Antonio. This, of course, was long before we knew there was going to be a COVID-19 public health crisis.
It's just that public health has always been a challenge for San Antonio over its long history.
For example, May 12, 1946, a polio epidemic shuts down San Antonio. There was an immediate closing of all schools in the city. Mayor Gus B. Marmon ordered the spraying of the city with DDT from airplanes. A citywide cleanup campaign was announced to go door-to-door to address open garbage pits, cesspools, and unsanitary outhouses.
How San Antonio is dealing with COVID-19 will one day be part of the city's history. It helps to have perspective now and remember that just like in 1946, we have to work together to limit the spread.
We hope you'll take a moment to pledge your support to Texas Public Radio on this one-day pledge drive. Call 800-622-8977 or go online to tpr.org.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the health transition for San Antonio with a safe reopening. That is the objective. If you got a call, a question, or a comment, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Dr. Ruth Bergeron, infectious disease specialist, director of the Center for Medical Humanities and Ethics at UT Health San Antonio, COVID-19 consultant for Bexar County, and a member of the City of San Antonio's health transition team. You laid out what looks to be the progress indicators that would make a safe and reasonable way to reopen the economy. We don't really have these in place, but still here we are reopening the economy. What are your concerns?
So I think people need to understand that this is a community-wide effort. We have got to look out for each other, take care of each other, and pay attention to what's going on and see how we can be helpful. As we open, we're going to need to be monitoring certain indicators that will tell us if we're heading into trouble. For example, if we see that there's a decline in the number of days to a doubling of cases, in other words, it gets a shorter period of time to double the number of cases in the city. Or if we have an increase in that percentage of tests that are positive for COVID-19. The judge said we were down to 6 to 7%. You know, if that starts to go up like it was before to 10 or 12%, that's a warning sign saying, whoa, hold on. Either don't expand or actually retreat to where you were before. And then the final indicator would be looking at evidence for stress on the healthcare system. We actually have a way of measuring the health system's stress index, and it depends on things like how much PPE we have, how many beds available, how many ventilators are being used up, and how many emergency calls are being made every day. Those are being monitored carefully now. And if we start to see a rise in the health system's stress level, that will be a warning that we need to, A, stop expanding, and B, consider retreating.
We have a question from Twitter from Eli. Is there a number that will be our red line when it comes to COVID infections and death to close things back down? So, Dr. Bergen?
Yeah, no, we haven't drawn any red lines, and there are a number of leaders and experts in epidemiology that are looking at all of these variables, and this will be, you know, a contextual decision that will require looking at a bunch of variables, but not a single red line.
Well, unfortunately, and I'm going to get to Dr. Jason Morrow on this question, this has become hyper-politicized. It seems crazy that a public health crisis would become politicized, but there you have it. And so, Dr. Jason Morrow, and I come to you on this because you're so thoughtful about these types of things. How do we step away from talking about these things in a way that becomes people are unwilling to negotiate or be reasonable because they're so entrenched into political reframing all of the time about these issues?
Well, that's a tough one, David. You know, you have a stressful situation like a pandemic. It's not that we automatically come together and heal our differences. Sometimes our differences are exposed and fault lines are deepened. What I have seen in the San Antonio response to the pandemic is that I don't see it as highly politicized here in San Antonio. There are people who feel more deeply the distrust of government that they may have had before. And there are people who are still wondering, what can the government, what can my local, regional, state authorities do to help me? I think it comes down to trust and trustworthiness. The ability to be trustworthy as a local government relies on the ability to communicate clearly what your reasons for actions are, to be transparent about the data and the evidence that you're using to act on behalf of public safety, and to respect people's autonomy as much as possible. That is, using the least restrictive means to achieve a mutually desired end. And, you know, I don't think that we should disregard the views of the vocal minority of people who feel like there's a conspiracy or that the government is trying to wrest power from the people. I think we need to speak to people who are adults like adults and explain to them our reasoning and try to bring them on board to the shared purpose. I think people are, by and large, willing to do that. And I think they just need to trust that we're acting as a team. As Dr. Bergeron said, this is one community that's working together to protect itself. And if we have a spirit of transparency and accountability and teamwork and respect for the businesses and business leaders, as well as the individuals and patrons of those businesses, we have respect for them by communicating clearly and using the least restrictive means possible, I think we can get there from here.
One of the failures that we've seen is the inability to provide enough testing to the public. I've even heard some local public officials say things like, well, we don't want to test everybody because if it's a negative, then it's a wasted test. That's not how that's supposed to work. But so, Dr. Bergeron, if you can talk about why having an abundance of testing is so important.
Well, let's start with looking at where we have hotspots. Not just in San Antonio, but all over the country and all over the world, the hot spots are places where you have people living together at close quarters, nursing homes, long-term care facilities, jails, and prisons. And I can give you a very local example. If you find a cluster of people where there's a lot of positives, but you find some negatives, guess what you do? You pull those negative people away out from where they're being housed with all the positives and put them in a place where they can't get infected. You segregate them. So there's a great example of targeted testing and then very specific actionable items that save lives when you find somebody who's negative and you pull them away from a risky setting.
So the issue that we have is that we have this virus that's in parts of the population. Some people have it, most people don't. But if we were able to do massive amount of testing and identify everyone who had COVID-19, like if we just set aside a week, okay, everyone's going to get tested no matter who you are, everyone gets tested. And then we're able to focus on the people who have it and then isolate those and let them deal with the virus and maybe get over it. And then we could we get back to work a lot quicker if we were able to have this massive day of action? Could that work, Dr. Bergeron?
Okay, more testing is definitely going to help us get back to work more safely, but there's a couple of different kinds of tests that we have to think about, and we need to put the brakes on our enthusiasm because we don't have all the information we need about how to interpret some of the tests. So there's molecular tests, which is where they swab the back of your nose, the back of your throat, and they look for molecular evidence of viral particles that are actually, you know, there in your nose. And the other test would be testing for proteins in the blood called antibodies. And with time, we're going to have a better understanding of what positive antibody tests mean. We're not there yet, but we're going to get there. And then we're also going to learn whether having those antibodies means not just that you had the infection and got over it, but we'll have some indication of how protected we are going forward. We have no idea right now. You know, there's some antibody tests we can say with fairly good certainty, yes, that antibody test in your blood, that means you had the disease and you are not sick anymore and you are over it. However, we can't say to somebody like that how long they're protected. And we're going to know that. And when we get that information, this whole business is going to get a lot easier for us because we'll have clear guidelines for who can work safely and who needs to stay home and self-isolate or protect themselves.
We're not there now. I'm going to go to Rick on the phones. Rick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I'm concerned about community spread and being out in the public. Work with a lot of construction, and I know we have the six-foot rule and the covering up, which is fantastic. But can you at least tell me, with the investigators we have on the corona, great job that they're doing, giving us the trend information, and we could follow the trend daily. But can you break it down to the top five community spread causes throughout San Antonio? Is it house parties or somebody bringing home to the family or construction workers, office workers, or okay, just going to the general store? What are the top three or top five causes? Because we're increasing, 25 to 30 every day on positives, but where is it coming from?
Rick, thank you for the question. Dr. Ruth Bergeron?
Yes, we're coming back to those populations where people are clustered together at close quarters for long periods of time. That's the overarching principle. But where the hot spots are in our community right now are the jail, the nursing homes, and also folks who work in the jail or the nursing homes, and that includes healthcare workers. Those would be my top three. I don't have a top five broken down for you.
But I'm wondering, if we're reopening of the economy and these restaurants and theaters and other places are back open, Dr. Jason Morrow, should I be extra cautious now? I mean, we kind of got used to the way things were going, and now I could relax a little bit, but now it's got to be back on my game, right?
Wow. Yeah. No, I think the attitude here is a little face paint, a little fist pump into the mirror in the morning and say, I'm going to keep myself safe. That's got to be part of this new normal attitude that we have. I think that as we ease restrictions and look towards a future where we can live our lives again and get back to work and raising our kids and taking care of our parents, I think that we're hand washing and the hand gel is here to stay. You're going to be gelling in and gelling out of work, in and out of contact with other people. Surface cleaning is here to stay. No longer are we going to be just reusing rags at restaurants to clean tabletops. We're going to be keeping them really clean with an eye towards protecting each other. That's going to be here and part of the landscape for a really long time. And in terms of wearing masks, I think the judge is right. In the near term, we need to be doing that. To protect each other and honoring strict social distancing measures. And all of that, we can all do that.
Yep.
The question is, how long can we be strict with the social distancing, and how patient can we be as we eat?
Got to take a break. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about the transition for a safe transition for our reopening of the economy. We have a tweet from Jonathan. It does no good to restart the economy if a second wave makes even more people sick than the first one did. I didn't feel safe until about 1 million Bexar County residents have been tested. Until then, I won't feel safe until about 1 million Bexar County residents have been tested. Until then, I'll be walking around in a viral minefield. Dr. Ruth Bergeron, are we ever going to get to a point where 1 million Bexar County residents will be tested?
Well, it's not going to happen soon, that's for sure, at 1,600 people per day, which is where we're at now. And even if we ramp up to 3,000 people a day, it's going to be a long time before you could get there. So I don't think testing 1 million people should be an indicator for now it's okay to go back to work. But I can appreciate the sentiment, and it's actually quite appropriate. And even though we are relaxing restrictions, we need to be very conscious of how to keep ourselves and our neighbors and our loved ones safe.
Dr. Jason Morrow, do you think that we are reopening the economy too soon because we're not meeting these benchmarks that you've laid out, these 4 points of progress indicators of a sustained decline for 14 days, having testing capacity, want to double the testing capacity, improving our contact tracing? The healthcare system is in place, but that's all we have. So is it too soon?
We're flirting with too soon, that's for sure. We lay out a standard for the number of tests that we should be doing every day. We lay out a standard for having stable or decreased number of cases relative to the testing that we're doing. And we lay out a standard for contact tracing, and we've met none of those standards. So it makes me nervous. Maybe we achieve the meeting of those standards as we step into the new economy. I'm a little nervous about it. And I want to make a comment about testing. It's not like if we tested everybody today with the molecular test Dr. Bergeron referenced, that we would be able to say, okay, we've got all the data we need. The fact is there could be people who falsely test negative and people who may have yet to become infected. So it's not just a matter of a one-time or do we achieve a certain number. We need to have consistent number of tests over time. It's the time that also helps, which is why we can't really fantasize about achieving it in a single day. This has to be a process. It has to be weeks to months in the making where we can increasingly feel like we're safe and getting one foot, one leg, part of our body out of the woods. It's going to take a while.
Dr. Ruth Bergeron, as Governor Abbott is laying out the reopening of the Texas economy, softening our social distancing, he's also cutting the legs out from under the requirement for people to wear face masks in public in Texas. How does that make you feel?
I think it's a mistake. That's not the only tool, but it's a really important tool. I did read the guidelines, and in fairness, masking is discussed quite a bit in Governor Abbott's report, and it's highly suggested. It's just not being enforced. And I would stand with the judge and in saying that I really believe masking is important, and we should stick with it, and we can choose to do so as a community.
How should we be talking about masks? Obviously, so if we're not going to have the authority, our local governments won't have the authority to have requirements, then we're going to have to really communicate very well to explain to people that this could save your life, right?
Absolutely. And it should be positive. And, you know, I would like to see positive peer pressure and affirmation, making each other feel good for taking precautions and reminding each other that when we take those precautions, it's not just about ourselves, it's about the other people in our lives and in our community. And I really believe there's such a thing as a virtuous social cycle where, you know, somebody sets a good example, gets reinforced, and then others do likewise. That can happen, and it can happen in San Antonio.
So the health transition team is going to city council today and will be making known these progress indicators and how we can do a safe transition in San Antonio. But what good is that when the governor has already done it? Dr. Ruth Bergeron?
Well, as the judge alluded earlier, there are things that we can do locally. And I think that one of the most important things that we do locally is to educate each other, reinforce the behavioral changes that need to be sustained, and monitor those. So we also want to create a positive social psychology around monitoring the progress indicators. And I would love to see businesses, nursing homes, long-term care facilities be very welcoming if they should get a visit from people from Metro Health, and not be scared that somebody's there to give them a citation or slap a fine on them, but recognize that we're all here in the community's best interest, and that when folks come and check in on your progress, that's an opportunity for identifying problems, and then folks who are having problems can maybe be connected with others who have solutions for them. So if we can get to that place where we recognize that we have to reinforce the good behavioral changes and welcome that, then I think we can continue to move forward and make progress in a rather positive manner rather than worrying about somebody coming around to whack you and fine you and make your life worse.
So, Dr. Jason Morrow, what is the risk level that you think we're heading towards? I mean, I would say the risk meter is probably going to increase with these new actions from the governor.
No, not necessarily. The risk meter is going to, we're just going to have to find out as we go. I think the biggest risk sectors right now are the congregate settings. where we have lots of people in a shared space, and we're aware of that. And Metro Health in San Antonio and the city are paying close attention to these congregate settings and mobilizing resources and the sort of educational and coaching model that, that Dr. Bergen alluded to. Across the state, we're going to find out if other settings are areas of higher risk. The approach that the transition team is taking to recommend to the city is one where we're able to more carefully assess risk by looking closely at establishments and businesses and enterprises where we looked at how much contact intensity there is, the number of contacts, and the ability to modify the risk with various measures and structuring of time, modifications of schedule. So I think we're being pretty smart here in San Antonio about mitigating the risk of the staged reopening. And in terms of whether or not we're actually increasing the risk, we're going to have to find out as we go.
And your reaction to that, Dr. Ruth Bergen?
Well, I think that people are very eager to do it right. I field phone calls all the time from major businesses and individuals asking, what can I do better? How can I be prepared? Are we doing everything right? Could you look at my plan here and let me know if this looks good to you? I think there's a tremendous amount of goodwill, desire to help the economy get back on its feet, which we all recognize is an important goal, but to do it in a way that doesn't compromise the health and safety of the people.
All right, Dr. Ruth Bergen, thank you for joining us, infectious disease specialist and director of the Center for Medical Humanities and Ethics at UT Health San Antonio, a COVID-19 consultant for Bexar County and a member of the City of San Antonio's health transition team. Also, thank you, Dr. Jason Morrow. Good to have you back, clinical ethicist, associate professor of medicine at UT Health San Antonio, palliative care doctor at University Health System, and a member of the City of San Antonio's health transition team. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be right back.